Good day, listeners. My name is Taylor McClure, and as always, thank you all for tuning in to CIDI's daily news show, Township's Daily News Bits. On today's episode, we chat about Bill C-18, otherwise known as the Online News Act, the federal government's attempt of having tech giants like Meta and Google compensate media organizations if they want to keep Canadian news content on their platforms. Meta and Google have both taken the decision to not follow Bill C-18, which has yet to be applied as the federal government continues to draw up the regulations. Both tech giants are slowly blocking Canadian media organizations from publishing news content and blocking Canadians from seeing, reading, or sharing Canadian news content. Facebook and Meta are two platforms that news media organizations use to grow and engage their audiences. I had the chance to speak with Paul Deegan, President and CEO of News Media Canada, about the potential fallout of Meta and Google's decision and how News Media Canada is addressing the situation. Paul, I wanted to thank you so much for joining CIDI to chat about the federal government's new bill, known as Bill C-18. I really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you so much, Taylor, and it's great to be with you on CIDI.
Now, it's a pleasure to have you. Now, Paul, we're here today, as I mentioned, to discuss the federal government's bill, Bill C-18, otherwise known as the Online News Act. And for our listeners' information, perhaps you'd like to start off by discussing Bill C-18 a little bit and what changes this bill intends to bring about for Canadian media. Do you think this bill is a move in the right direction to preserve quality journalism here in Canada?
Yeah, absolutely. We think C-18 is a very important legislation. We're pleased that it passed. So in a nutshell, C-18 really allows news organizations to come together to negotiate with big tech platforms like Facebook and Google. And what it does is, if it doesn't lead to a successful agreement, it goes to mediation and then to final offer arbitration. So essentially what the government's doing is really setting the table for both publishers and platforms to negotiate over the fair value of the content that our journalists create.
So essentially, it's just to ensure that Canadian media is being compensated for what it's being, for what it's providing to the community.
Absolutely. And right now, in the lead up to C-18, both Google and Meta started doing deals with a number of larger news organizations across the country. So, for example, the Globe and Mail, the Toronto Star, the Winnipeg Free Press, Le Devoir, they all have deals with both companies. And we're glad those companies have deals with Google and Meta, and we represent both of them. We represent those publishers, but we also represent a bunch of little publishers or smaller publishers across the country that don't have deals. And right now, it's unfair. You've got an unlevel playing field between publishers and platforms, but you've also got a lack of parity among publishers. Some have deals and some don't. And I'll give you an example in Quebec. So, for example, Le Devoir has a deal with both Google and Meta, and La Presse and the Quebecor papers don't. And that's not fair, and that doesn't make any sense. So really what this legislation does is ensures that all publishers have access to negotiating a fair deal, and eliminating that sort of lack of fairness in terms of, you know, big tech platforms picking winners and losers.
My next question for you, Paul, was, you know, why now more than ever is it important to ensure that, you know, Canadian media is put on fair playing ground, you know, and that it is compensated for the content it provides to its readers, listeners on social media platforms like Facebook?
So these companies are just so dominant in the advertising market. And that's in a way a separate issue from this. But, you know, Google's share of the digital ad market is something like 80%. In search, their share is, I think it's 95% or something. So these platforms are just so dominant. And so what this legislation really does is attempt to redress that. And journalism, as you know, is in tough shape right across this country. That applies to publishers, which we represent, but also to the private sector broadcasters as well. There have been massive layoffs right across Canada over the last number of years. And what we're really trying to do with this legislation is to arrest that and really stop the cutting that has gone on in Canadian journalism and allow people to stabilize, and then reinvest in journalism. And that's what it's all about. And obviously, journalism is important to our democracy, and we want to make sure that Canadians have access to high-quality news content.
Yeah, because, you know, I was reading some press releases that were sent out by Meta in their newsroom, actually. And when I was reading through it, there was this perception that it's not tech giants like Meta that are benefiting from news content, but vice versa, because media organizations are choosing voluntarily to use the social media platforms to widen their audience, and that people don't turn to Meta for news. So I was wondering if you could comment on that aspect of things, because they see it as being the other way around. So it's really interesting to get the different perceptions.
Yeah, so there's no question that both parties benefit. Listen, we clearly benefit from both Google and Meta in terms of expanding audience, and there's revenue associated with that. But they benefit from us too. And essentially, these companies are data harvesters. So what they do is, as you're searching for news or as you're reading news on Facebook, they're following you around, they're harvesting all your data, and they're selling advertising against it. And people who consume news on both Google and Meta, they tend to skew higher in terms of income and educational attainment. So they're very good customers. Meta, for example, their revenue in Canada reportedly is in the neighborhood of $4 billion. That's a massive amount of money. They don't employ a lot of people in this country. I can tell you they don't employ a single journalist in this country. So they should pay for the value that they derive from our content. And that's what this is all about. One thing I would add is we're really heartened by Premier Legault in Quebec and the leading Quebec companies like Quebecor, like Cogeco, the SAQ, Hydro-Québec, Desjardins and Metro. These companies have either paused or halted their advertising with Meta, and we'd like other governments across Canada, the BC government has followed Premier Legault's lead, but we'd like corporate Canada to stand up so the banks, the telcos, the airlines, the large retailers and grocers to stand up and make a strong principled stance and stand up to Meta and say, if you're going to block Canadian news, we're not going to advertise with you. One thing Meta will definitely understand is the power of the purse. So Meta's really got 4 billion reasons not to abandon Canada. But if they do block news in Canada, the corporate community needs to stand up for democratic values.
Yeah, that's actually what I was just going to get into. I'm sure there's people out there that don't know this, that slowly within the next couple of weeks, Canadians are not going to be able to access news anymore through platforms such as Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, and it started already. I mean, there's a number of outlets that I sent you their screen grabs of their Instagram account, and they can't post anything. They can't post news. They can't even post, let's say they've got a summer staff barbecue. They can't even post that. So this is really thuggish in terms of the behavior that Meta's undone. And actually what we did is News Media Canada, which represents about 570 news publishers across Canada, as well as the Canadian Association of Broadcasters, which is most of the private sector broadcasters, and CBC Radio Canada, we've come together and we filed a complaint with the Competition Bureau. We're alleging that Meta is abusing its dominant position in the marketplace, and that contravenes Section 79 of the Competition Act. So we've essentially asked the Comp Bureau to look into this and halt this illegal activity by Meta. This is just such bad corporate behavior. And, you know, Meta is a leading global company. You don't expect leading global companies to behave like this. So again, we would say to your listeners who have advertising budgets, send a strong signal to Meta and withhold your advertising dollars and redirect it, frankly, to, you know, local radio, local TV, local newspapers.
Yeah. And my next question for you, Paul, was like, what impacts do you see this decision happening on the media landscape here in the country? Like, do you think it will hinder Canadian media's ability to thrive in an already challenging time for media?
Yeah, absolutely. They're denying us of audience, and there's advertising dollars associated with that. So absolutely. And look, all we're asking for is fair compensation. They're already paying some publishers in Canada. They're paying news publishers in Australia. And this legislation, the Online News Act, which was brought in by Pablo Rodriguez, who at that point was Minister of Canadian Heritage, it's very good legislation. It's very similar to the Australian legislation. which is working. And I can tell you, I talk to publishers in Australia all the time, and they're actually, most of them are pretty pleased. Well, all of them I talk to are pleased with Google, and many of them are pleased with Facebook. You know, they've been able to negotiate fair deals, Google in particular, and we've got to tip our hat to them. As far as we know, they've done deals with every eligible news publisher in Australia. Meta started off doing deals and they've since halted. So there's a group of 24 ethnic publishers in Australia, for example. Google's done a deal with them. These publishers are very happy with Google, but Meta has refused to negotiate with them.
Wow. Okay. So there's a difference between Meta and Google as well in terms of how they're going about it.
And I think, you know, Google has worked through the legislative process. They're not thrilled with the legislation, but there's now about a 6-month period where the regulations are going to be drafted. And Google is, you know, they've rolled up their sleeves. They've got their pen out. They're trying to make sure that the regulations are fair, balanced, and predictable for all. And we're looking for the same thing. We want something that's workable for them and workable for us. Meta, on the other hand, seems to be sort of walking away with their marbles. And, you know, we don't think that's constructive. And so our message to Meta would be a good corporate citizen, take a cue from Google, and get in the game, engage. If you want to make sure that this legislation can work for you, you've got a great opportunity in the 6-month period where the regs are being drafted. So get in the game.
You're mentioning how they're not getting on board, but you know, some people might not realize or recognize the significance that these platforms provide for Canadian media, you know, and for citizens as well. I wanted to ask you, why is it important that Canadian citizens have access to this content through social media? What does it contribute to our society here?
So it's important that Canadians are informed. You know, we need to hold the police, the courts, our politicians accountable. And the folks who do that are the hardworking journalists right across the country. But if the economics of the business aren't working, it's very, very difficult because journalism is expensive to produce. Original content, you know, in particular investigative journalism. I mean, some investigations can take months and months and months of hard work. This costs real money. So real journalism created by real journalists costs real money. Where platforms derive value from that content, they should pay their fair share. And that's all we're asking for.
Well, those are all the questions that I had for you, Paul, about Bill C-18, but I wasn't sure if there was anything else that you wanted to mention that you think would be important for people to be aware of that I may not have touched on in my questions.
So I think it's just, you know, so vital for our democracy that we have a strong journalism sector in Canada. And listen, CBC, Radio Canada, they do very good work, but they can't be the only game in town, right? So we need strong, independent, private sector journalism in this country. And one of the ways for that to sort of survive and thrive is to make sure that we are being paid for the value that we deliver to companies like Google and Meta.
Well, thank you so much again, Paul, for providing our listeners with that information. I really appreciate your time.
Yep, pleasure being with you, Taylor.
CIDI had the opportunity to chat with newly appointed Heritage Minister Pascal Saint-Onge about Meta and Google's decision, how the federal government is going about addressing this decision, and how it will go about supporting media organizations during an already challenging time. Pascal, I wanted to thank you, as always, for taking the time to chat with CIDI today all about Bill C-18. I really appreciate all your time. Thank you so much.
Nice to be with you again. And I'm happy to talk about Bill C-18, which is such an important bill for our news media.
Yeah. Bill C-18. I've already spoken to a couple of people about this bill, you know, and it's causing a lot of concerns amongst the country's media organization and even Canadian citizens. People have a lot of questions. So what people really want to know is how the federal government will go about addressing Meta and Google's position to block Canadian news and to block Canadians from seeing any sort of news. So it kind of went in a direction that wasn't expected. And they're looking at you in particular as a newly appointed Heritage Minister for answers. So I guess my first question for you was, as the federal government drafts Bill C-18, how will you, as Heritage Minister, address this position that Meta and Google has decided to take towards the bill? Do you plan on creating some sort of open dialogue between the federal government and Meta and Google to ensure that journalism continues to thrive here in the country?
You know, of course, I'm going to maintain an open discussion with Meta and also with Google, and I have met with them already.
Okay.
I feel like those conversations were not only extremely positive and constructive, but also very honest. I explained and I re-expressed our position, which is, you know, more than 500 news media have closed across the country since the creation and the arrival of those two platforms in Canada. And we're not going to back down from making sure that everybody participates to make our news media market a sustainable one, because it's at the forefront of our democracy and it's so important for our country. But at the same time, Facebook has decided to prevent users from sharing journalistic information to their family and friends, which is, in my opinion, a pretty cowboy move to make, since, yes, the law has been voted in Parliament last session, but it's still not being applied because, and it won't be until the end of probably 2023 or the beginning of 2024, because the phase that we're into right now is a regulatory process. So the regulation will come out in the next few days or weeks, and stakeholders, including Facebook and Google, but also citizens and our news media, will have 30 days to give us their comments on this proposal. And then once we collect all those comments and suggestions and ideas, we're going to publish the official regulation. And then the law will start being applied. So
they kind of jump the gun a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when I met them, I asked them to keep an open mind, to participate in the regulatory process, to give us their ideas and opinion. What's the problem with what we're putting forward? Because I truly believe that what we're proposing, both to Facebook and Google, but also to our news media sector, is something that's totally viable, respectful of their business models, and will provide predictability for all players. And I think that this is a nice place for everyone to land. So I'm positive that we'll reach an agreement, but I did ask them to keep an open communication and conversation with us, a positive and constructive one, because I truly believe that we have something good for everyone in this.
And, you know, my next question was, despite their position, do you think Bill C-18 is a step in the right direction for Canadian media and content? But it seems to be like you're saying, yes, it is a step in the right direction and it'll only move us further.
Absolutely. And I think that they realize, because we're not the only country who's doing this. Australia has done it previously. The United States are starting to move in that direction as well. There's other jurisdictions that have created different jurisdictions, but that reach the same goals, which is to make sure that the advertisement money is shared a little bit more freely in their country. So, you know, they know that this is where democracies are going, because to have a strong social connection and conversation about issues that matter, we need to have journalistic articles and radio and television broadcasters so that we can debate on facts instead of just on opinion and misinformation. And quite frankly, you know, when you look at Facebook's business model, it's based on a trust and relationship between users and the platform. And that trust was based on the fact that people could post and share with their family and friends what they care about. And now Facebook has decided, or Mark Zuckerberg has decided, that users no longer can share information that they care about with their family and friends. And this, in my opinion, infringes the social contract that the platform has. And for that, I don't think that their position right now in Canada or elsewhere in the world is sustainable in the long term.
And, you know, I'm sure that as we're working through this process, you know, there's already news outlets who are already have been blocked. We can't publish. People can't see our content. And those small local journalism initiatives depend on those platforms to grow their audiences, to engage their audiences, and for new audiences to discover their content. So I was just wondering how you plan on going about supporting these local journalism initiatives and organizations during this time. You know, people are scrambling right now to find ways to adapt the way they diffuse their news out into the world now, because they're so limited.
Yeah. And you know, I don't have anything specific to announce today. But what I can say is that there's already a number of programs that are available for different news markets, whether it's independent media, whether it's community media, whether it's magazines, whether it's different newsrooms. So we're looking at ways that we can do even more, because I know that this is a difficult time for our news media. We've you know, read recently about Metro that stopped their activities. We've heard about so many cuts in different news media rooms. You know, we're looking at every kind of way that we can help. And one of the first things that the government did when Facebook decided to pull back on journalistic content is we stopped advertising. The government stopped advertising on Meta. So on Facebook and Instagram, and what we're doing is reinvesting that money in our news media. So that, you know, that's something that we're trying at the same time, and other companies followed, you know, a lot of bigger companies. Quebec government decided also to withdraw advertising from Meta's platforms. So, you know, there's anger is brewing around Facebook's decision, and that's why I think we are going to reach an agreement, because it's better for all of us.
And like you mentioned, there are programs and initiatives that exist out there to support local media. So what and even larger media organizations as well. So I was just wondering, you know, what sort of programs or initiatives do you hope to keep developing as Heritage Minister to ensure a thriving media landscape here in the country?
Well, you know, the media have different business models. For example, some of them offer their news for free, but they have philanthropic organizations to support, or donations from readers. Others have a paying wall. Others, they rely entirely on advertisements. So there's different ways and to support different media depending on their business models. So some programs might fit better one or the other. But you know, the kind of thing that we're already doing is that we have in place a tax credit for journalists' salaries in newsrooms. Okay, so that's a way that we support businesses. Well, it's a 25% tax deduction that companies can on journalists' salaries up to, I think it's $75,000 a year. So of course, you know, it's sustaining the jobs in the newsrooms, yeah. Which is the goal of that we try to reach. So this is one example of a problem of a program that we have. We also have tax credits for people that give to philanthropic organizations that sustain some news media. You know, these are all things that we've already put in place. So is there ways that we can make them even more efficient or more helpful? You know, we're really looking at everything, but in the very, very short term, the goal is really to get the regulation out, receive the comments from everyone, and have the platforms negotiate with our news outlets as quickly as possible. We're looking at everything, and I have so much respect, and I know how independent media and also local and community media are so important. Just to show how important they are, we've noticed that in communities where there was no longer a local media, there's no longer any journalists to look at the municipalities' budgets. And we've seen tax raise in a lot of those municipalities, and also expenses, you know, grow. So it shows that it's really important that we have journalism everywhere around the country to be held accountable. You know, the people in power, the people making decisions. We need to know that what we're doing will be observed, will be commented on, and will be publicly known. To always keep focus on making the best decisions for Canadian citizens. So this is, you know, so important for Canadian democracy. And, you know, I want to protect that.
And, you know, now my last question for you was, what is the next steps now that, you know, the bill is slowly being drafted and put together? But you kind of mentioned that to me at the beginning, that you're in the regulatory process. But so I guess my last question for you is, if there's anything else that you wanted to mention, Pascal, about Bill C-18 that you think would be important for our community to be aware of. I didn't know if there was something about the bill or moving forward that people or Canadians should keep track of as we go through this process.
I would say that, you know, as a country, we need to stay confident that we're moving in the right direction, because this is not only a challenge that Canada is facing, protecting and ensuring the survival and the sustainability of our journalism. It's something that all the democracies are talking about right now, and we are talking to each other, and we are all moving in the same direction. So we need to stay strong and confident, even though right now times are, difficult. They're difficult for our journalists. They're difficult for our, citizens that can't share their important information with their friends and family, especially when we see emergency situations like the wildfires and so many reasons why people should have access to all the information they need. So we just need to be confident and strong that we're doing the right thing. We're really trying to, we're fighting for who we are. We're fighting for our democracy. We're fighting for our freedom of expression. And I'm convinced that what we're doing is the right thing. And even though some tech-savvy boy are resisting right now.
Well, thank you so much, Pascal, for your comments. I'm really sure our local community will appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. And hi to everyone.
Alex Friedman, Executive Director of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, told CIDI in an interview that Meta and Google's decision is troubling for the future of the Canadian voice.
I think it's really a tragic position, and I think it's really, really unfortunate. News is critically important to communities, and trustworthy news in an age of disinformation is particularly critical. I know that you at CIDI and in your community have seen a significant conversation around news when it comes to your news and what's happening in Knowlton and surrounding areas. But the reality is that that is evidence that there is traffic that is generated for Facebook by news. But that aside, this is becoming a different conversation. News is not a commodity. Information, democracy, our intelligence is not a commodity, and it should never be that way. And Meta is proving that they are more than willing to hold all of these critical pieces of our society hostage for their own financial gain. First of all, C18 has not yet come into effect. What they're doing is they're trying to send a message to Canada and to the world that they are more powerful than our governments, and that they can stand against legislation that governments, not just Canadian, but globally, are trying to pass legislation to support news media. And Facebook is saying, we know that we are the primary platform for delivery, and we don't want to have to pay to be in that role, because we are a profit engine, and that is the biggest and most tragic thing. And so I'm incredibly disappointed, in the conversations. We haven't had really meaningful conversations with Facebook. From a community radio standpoint, what we want to see is not a transfer of money from Facebook Meta to our stations. What we want to see is a way that we can collaborate so that they can support stations in terms of news gathering, generating online news content that would benefit Facebook. This does not have to be a punitive situation. This is a way of saying we need to work together to make sure that there's funding across the board. And dear Facebook, you can scream up and down and say that you don't benefit from this, but that's simply not the case. And so we want to find a way that we can work on this and go ahead. I've been looking at articles recently saying that Facebook has throttled back news in the United States too. There are dozens of publishers that have spoken up and said that they've seen a 30 to 40% drop in traffic. Well, now that Canada has done it, the European Union is also working on a piece of legislation that would be similar to this. We know that there are states like California and others that are doing it in the United States. Now, there's a global movement that is saying we want to make sure that if they benefit from our content, that there is a structure in which those people producing that content, because it doesn't happen for free, should be compensated in some way. Well, that's just fair market dealing. And the entity that is Meta is now incredibly concerned that there will be a global push to make sure that this happens. And they're trying to use the Canadian market to get out in front of it. And so this goes far beyond, the idea that this is just an attack on Canadian news outlets. This is an attack on global information.
And, you know, like we discussed amongst ourselves, you were and still are, of course, as you've made very clear, are you're all for fighting and preserving local journalism initiatives, which was the intention behind Bill C-18. As the government's drafting this bill, it doesn't seem to be going in the direction that people thought it would or that people were hoping for. So what concerns you about the future of media now that the federal government is in the midst of drafting regulations for Bill C-18 and that Meta has taken this position moving forward?
Well, I'm worried that, you know, I mean, we're stuck between two pieces of this conversation. On the one hand, you know, local media outlets, this is reciprocal. So they do need to be able to use Facebook to communicate with their audiences. For years, they spent time developing Facebook communities, and that's incredibly important. So, you know, on the one hand, we're in a conversation of, does there come a point where you know, we back out of this, we relinquish this? And on the other hand, you've got one singular global, you know, massive corporate entity that is proving that they can push around democratically elected governments. And it's a real challenge. We're in a bad spot on this. I don't presume to speak on behalf of stations. I am part of a network of people that is advocating for community campus and Indigenous broadcasters. But from my perspective, we're in a very bad spot with this conversation. I think the legislation that was passed with the best of intentions. What's resulted is a global power play. And from the standpoint of somebody who believes firmly in local news and information, we're in a very bad spot. And it's a real challenge. And I'm quite concerned, you know, for my community, for my kids, for the future of our democracy. The more we see private corporations controlling our information, it's not a good thing. And by the way, we're seeing a similar conversation right now on Twitter. You know, people have been saying, well, you know, Twitter's not part of Facebook or Google. Well, fine. But I'm seeing a headline as of today, actually, that says X, as it's now called, is planning to hide headlines from news links for improved, quote, improved aesthetics. So they'll make it more difficult for people to see news on other platforms, too. And again, we're in a situation where there's a small handful of corporations that control our news access. And this brings up another point, because there is also News Media Canada. I'm sure Paul spoke about this, and Canadian Association of Broadcasters have launched a competition bureau challenge. It goes against healthy competition in the market. And that's a very interesting case. It's one that's exploring some territory that has not yet been explored in Canadian law. And I'll be watching how that comes out too.
From your perspective, you know, you were mentioning how the government had only the greatest of intentions behind Bill C-18, but how do you think it could have been approached differently to ensure that this collaboration was just that, a collaboration, and that it didn't give rise to these tensions with Meta, but an actual conversation, I guess?
Well, I mean, I would say that there was a conversation that I'm certain that, you know, Canadian department officials had a long conversation with Meta about what they're trying to do. You know, and I know that Meta was part of the House of Commons committee hearings. I know it was part of the Senate committee hearings. And that's the way Canadian law is created. We work through these committees. We have public and open conversations around this. What happened is that Facebook, Meta, did not get what they wanted. How could you do something like this? Your question, how does a bill like this get written that would benefit them exclusively? Well, if that's the case, and if that's the only outcome that's possible here, then the legislation is moot. Sometimes in society, if you benefit from something, you have to make sure that you pay for it. And it's an untenable position for them to say, we only want to pay for the major corporations. There was a significant pushback against the idea that community stations would be involved in this. They've made the argument that you don't do news, which is absurd. You do news on a regular basis. And what they had wanted to do was exclude community and campus broadcasters from this legislation. There isn't a negotiation point on that. There had always been a desire to limit the number of deals that they would have to make to be eligible under this law. And it's a complicated law. Basically, it says you need to make a series of deals with the majority of news broadcasters for you to be able to continue doing what you're doing. And so they didn't want to have community broadcasters included. And in fact, Google took out a full page ad in a number of newspapers during the course of this, saying there's too many people being included in the definition of news. And that was a direct commentary on community and local news outlets.
Wow. Okay. I was not aware of that. And, you know, now as the government is, you know, drafting up this bill, what do you think needs to be done moving forward now that the future of media isn't necessarily hanging in the balance, but is kind of uncertain as to what's going to happen as we move forward? What do you think needs to be done now that we're in this situation?
That's a very big question. But what I would like to see is everybody come to the table with an open formula for how the compensation can be shared, one that doesn't prejudice any news outlets, which is not the case under this law. Right now, those news outlets that had signed deals, the context and the content of those deals were not made public. So there wasn't an understanding of what's happening. So I think we need to have a public conversation around how we're going to ensure that there is a fair compensation. And again, when I say fair, I say this has to take in the needs of the medium, in this case, the social media network, as well. I don't think that we need to punitively harm this billion-dollar corporation, and but I do think we need to find a solution such that news outlets are fairly compensated, and that the benefit that Meta does get from this, which is, again, I really stand against the notion that they get no benefit from this, it is something that we're compensated for. But I don't know the path to that. You know, we've gotten to a point where Canada is in the middle of this international staring competition. I do think it goes well beyond the scope of the Canadian government, to be perfectly honest with you.
Those were really all the questions that I had for you, Alex, around Bill C-18. I just really wanted to give people the big picture here as to what's taking place and what they can expect to see or not see in the coming months. But I wasn't sure if there was anything else that you'd like to mention, perhaps about Bill C-18 or other legislation, or anything else that you'd like to mention that you think would be important for people to be aware of in terms of how the media landscape will be changing here in the country.
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's important to recognize that, you know, for a long time, we have had private corporations in the form of commercial broadcasters who exist in Canada and who benefit from Canadians and access to Canadians through their advertising platforms and otherwise. For a very long time, they've had to pay into what we call Canadian content development funding. So the notion that major broadcasters who benefit from Canadian content should then be asked and required to contribute to the development of Canadian content is not new. For us to be able to promote Canadian artists and Canadian producers and Canadian film and television and otherwise, we're on an uphill battle against the great behemoth that is the United States. Commercial broadcasters very much want to play less Canadian content or as little Canadian content as possible because they believe they don't profit from it. Doesn't change the fact that Canadian content, Canadian voices, Canadian music, Canadian opinion is still critical to Canadians. And when we talk about C-11, which is broadly about Canadian content, and then when we talk about C-18, which is very specifically about news content, the conversation remains the same. If you want to make money in Canada, and your role is to disseminate information in some fashion, well, then you need to make sure that you're also supporting the Canadian voice. And if we don't stand firm on something like this, then it's the Canadian voice that loses out. Increasing access to international sources, it's a real challenge for those Canadians who want to create. We're on the downward side of a slippery slope right now.
Well, those are all the questions that I had for you, Alex, but please feel free to bring up anything else before we sign off. I really appreciate this conversation.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, and good luck, and hello to all the listeners in the townships and the CIDI, and it's a real pleasure to be part of this broadcast.
CIDI reached out to Meta Canada for comment, but they did not get back to us before press time. However, according to a press release published in their newsroom, Meta's position is that Bill C-18 is incorrect when it suggests that Meta benefits unfairly from news content shared on its platforms. Meta believes the reverse is true. According to the press release, News outlets voluntarily share content on Facebook and Instagram to expand their audiences and help their bottom line. Meta states that we know the people using our platforms don't come to us for news. Meta continues to write that while the process of drafting regulations under the Online News Act is ongoing, the process is unfortunately not equipped to make changes to features of the legislation that have been unworkable for Meta. They said the only choice that they were left with was to end news availability for people in Canada. It emphasizes, however, that Canadians will always be able to use this technology to connect with friends, families, and groups, engage with their local communities, and discover something new. It encourages people to access news online by going directly to a news publisher's websites, downloading mobile news apps, and subscribing to their preferred publishers. According to the press release, Meta collaborated with Quebec digital literacy expert Nelly Biraire to equip people with information about how they can continue to access local news and information online. Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.